Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or a good morning, as the case may be, and welcome to Anything Goes Talk Radio. Open lines all night long tonight. Anything you guys want to talk about is fair game. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian Island chains in the west to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, both with visions of dancing girls and trade winds and such, into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the great internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good morning. It is going to be one of those nights. We're simply going to open the lines. We're not going to screen calls. We never do. And we're going to see what happens. Not a lot of news. The McVeigh trial has gone to the jury. Well, correction. The McVeigh trial will have the judge instruct the jury, and it will go to the jury in the morning. So that'll be a wait-and-see deal. I don't know. You know, the prosecution says he did it, presented a pretty strong case. Defense says he didn't, and the guy who did was blown up. And that's where the extra leg came from. And personally, I doubt it's going to be a very long deliberation. I would expect a verdict fairly quickly. We'll see. The Marines are evacuating, using helicopters to evacuate about 250 Americans from Freetown, Sierra Leone. Now, we say it is not stable. Indeed, it is not, though they claim to have it under control. They also claim that nobody better violate their airspace, as in U.S. helicopters coming out. We are intent on taking our people out, and my estimation would be that if they get in the way of our helicopters, they will be sorry. Scientists in Spain, check this out, have found the remains. This is from Reuters, by the way. This hours, Reuters. I found the remains of what could be the oldest known European. The fossilized remains of a boy with a remarkably modern face date back 780,000 years and have now been dubbed Homo ancestor. Antecessor, I guess that is, really. The new, same deal, the new species is considered a relative of both modern man and the Neanderthals. Now, wouldn't that make it the missing link? In other words, if they can clearly show a link between Neanderthal and modern man. Anyway, the boy was discovered among a group of six people, almost a modern height and bone size. They are considered to have advanced thinking abilities, judging by the quality of tools found nearby. The researchers will have their findings published Friday in the magazine Science. Did you see the young lady, 13-year-old, who won the spelling bee? She jumped up and down and jumped up and down. Actually, she began celebrating prior to the spelling of her word because obviously she knew how to spell it. She was happy to get the word. And it's fun to see somebody that happy. Boy, she was just jumping up and down, wasn't she? Now, this is the one serious presentation that I wish to make to you this morning, and we may or may not talk about it. Before I open lines, this fax came to me last night during the hind end of the Wayne Green program, and I thought I wanted to deal with it. So I thought I would save it for tonight. And people have asked me from time to time if I'm a Christian. Well, you know, I think generally so. I mean, I don't know how. There are many definitions of that. I think Christ walked the earth. I think there is a creator. So I think in a general sense, I'm a Christian. I've investigated a lot of religions, Buddhism, many others. sort of in search of, been for a long time. But I think in general terms, I'm Christian. However, specifically so, perhaps not. Anyway, I got this fax. Hi, Art. I heard you say the other night that you're Christian. I also heard you just comment on the on revenge. Not consistent, Art. The essence of Christ's message is forgiveness. Mike in Campbell, California. And I must tell you that all my life I have been a revengeful person. And I want to say that to delineate between vengeful, as in seeking out to do somebody in, because I don't. However, I also do not turn the other cheek. So that makes me a revengeful person. I think karma helps those who help themselves. Or maybe you could say karma helps those who help karma. And I know that you will suggest that no matter what bad thing somebody might do to you or somebody you love, that karma in this lifetime or some other will cause come back to them manyfold. Something terrible will happen to them or some incarnation of theirs. I can't wait. If somebody comes at me, I come right back at them. And I come right back at them, usually harder than they came at me. And though I'm not going to, for a lot of very good reasons, discuss specifics here, suffice it to say, and you might remember this and mark it down, that if somebody comes after me, and maybe it is not the Christian thing to do, and when I mean come after me, I mean come after me, my family, those I love, that sort of thing, I'm going right back after them. I don't even have to think about it. It's a natural reaction for me. Therefore, if that is the mark of a Christian, to be done upon by others and just sit there and turn the other cheek, then count me out as a Christian. And people will call and say, well, you can't cherry pick. You can't do that. You can't. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I can be wrong. But that's me. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you right now. If somebody comes at me, I'm coming right back at them. I have had... So I'd like your comments on that. I don't know how many messages with regard to the weather lately. This one is an Associated Press article from Los Angeles. Satellites are picking up a shift in the trade winds and are detecting humps of warm water moving across the Pacific Ocean at the equator. Signs another weather disrupting El Nino may be brewing. This is the same thing detected by Stan Dale. If so, rains and drought could be in store worldwide. An El Nino occurs when westward blowing trade winds weaken, allowing a mass of warm water, normally situated off Australia, hello Stan, to drive eastward to western South America. The phenomenon got its name from the Spanish words for baby Jesus, because the huge warm pool usually arrives around Christmas. Because water expands as it heats, warmer seas are higher seas. And they are now detecting two humps, 6 to 8 inches high, and that was detected by NASA on Thursday. So, It is, and by the way, that was from the Washington Post. Thank you, David, for sending that along. Clearly, the weather is changing, either for the short term or for the long term, but I've got a million articles about it. There's no question about it. Those poor people in Texas, and there's going to be a lot more of that. And you may or may not have been following this. NASA has a polar spacecraft. Pictures from NASA's polar spacecraft, orbiting at about 30,000 miles, clearly show objects streaking toward the Earth and ballooning into clouds 600 to 15,000 miles above the surface. Filters on the polar cameras show the objects contain water. Estimated they are 20 to 40 aggregate tons of speeding ice in from space at more than 20,000 miles an hour. They strike the Earth's atmosphere and vaporize. A NASA astronomer, Steve Maran, that's M-A-R-A-N, said, quote, "This is a new class of object," end quote. Now, a lot of scientists think that this is how the Earth may have acquired its water, by this relatively constant bombardment of things that are filled with water. Or this may be something relatively new. At any rate, I guess we will shortly, according to this, find out. Interesting times we live in, aren't they? Okay, here's a story I doubt you're going to hear anywhere else, though it is from the Associated Press, Gorbe, Ontario. Check this out. A 19-year-old Indian was acquitted of manslaughter Thursday by a judge who accepted testimony that the slain man was believed to be an evil spirit called the Bear Walker. Defendant Leon Jocko said that he was acting in self-defense against the Bear Walker when he fatally bludgeoned Ron Thompson with a ceremonial walrus bone in 1995. Ontario Court Judge Richard Traynor agreed, ruling the killing was not an act of aggression, but an act of self-defense to protect Jocko and others. Quote, from the judge, "I accept the evidence of native spirituality as being a sincerely held belief. The accused was unaware of the victim's propensity for violence, including his reputation for having powers as a bear walker," end quote. Wow. Wow, I say again. What a story.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Once again, tonight I think we are going to devote to absolutely nothing. That is to say, whatever it is that grabs your fancy to talk about suits me. So, here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Ryan from Houston, Texas.
Hello, Ryan.
I called on the night you had Rosalie on.
Aha, yes.
And I had one comment I didn't get put on the air.
All right.
But she seems like she's putting money before everything, which seems like a pretty common thing these days. It seems like our morals and ethics are...
Well, wait a minute, wait. Before we get into the other aspect of Rosalie, where you can talk about morals or ethics, I suppose, if you want, there is nothing, in my opinion, immoral or unethical about pursuing money. If you want to.
Well, I understand that. I mean, money, my grandfather said it wisely, money's a tool. You have to have it to live, to survive.
Yeah.
But it seems like, to put Rosalie aside, nothing against her. I know everything she was saying was true, even though I...
Well, that's the whole thing about Rosalie. I mean, you could object to it morally or ethically, but... it's really hard to say she's wrong. You know, I mean, most of us knew she was absolutely right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But as far as putting money in front of everything, including love.
Now that's a different story. The love of money, that's bad news.
Yeah, but there's one thing that...
But you can like it a lot.
You can like it a lot, yes. But there's one thing that money cannot buy.
Uh-huh.
And that is love.
That's true.
And that's just all I really wanted to say. But
all right, well, you said it well. Thank you. No, it can't. You're right. Can't buy love. Money can't buy me love. That was Beatles, right? It's true. It can buy you a lot of good sex. But he's right. Love is a separate entity that will not be purchased. That's absolutely correct. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this Arbel?
I'm the only one here. It's the only possibility. Yes, it is me.
Oh, morning.
Well, depending on your time zone.
Yeah. I would like to say about the weather.
Yes.
In Mark of the Bible, it says that a furious storm came upon the boat and swept over the sea. And his disciples woke Jesus, saying that, save us, we are going to drown. He replied, you a little faith, why are you so afraid?
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it says in the Bible, repeatedly, that he's coming back.
But see, as I recall it, he was the only one who could more or less walk on water.
Yes.
Everybody else pretty much drowned.
It doesn't say that in here, but
well, I know, but I mean, you know, Noah got it together and saved some animals, but everybody else more or less went under.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay, and in the Jerusalem back
yes.
then, there was
yes.
a holy land,
mm-hmm.
and he says that he keeps coming back. He's coming back in clouds and with power and glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured if he's coming back, there's got to be a more holy land. So I sat there and figured it out for a while, and I'm pretty sure it's Colorado. And
Colorado?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and about the storms and stuff, high winds.
Well, I've heard it called God's country, but I... yes, storms and high winds?
Yes. I figure that somebody, some individual human, is causing the winds of great power.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't know about that. Maybe a group, a committee. Most things are done by committee these days, so if you want somebody to blame for the winds, we've got to look for a committee of at least 300, right? Hey, by the way, I should say this. As you know, my book, my baby, it's called The Quickening. And to be precise, it is 337 pages long. As you know, sold out. First printing of that went in exactly 2 weeks. Exactly 2 weeks. It was incredible. The second printing has arrived and is now going at the same pace. I am still, and until I get tired of it, signing books. That means you can get a first edition copy, because we now have the second printing in hand. You can get a first edition copy of the print of The Quickening, autographed with my autograph for now. And I don't know for how much longer. It depends on how much longer I can handle signing books. That's it. So if I were you, I would not wait, because when the day comes, it will come in all likelihood without warning. You know, one day I'll just say, man, I can't do this anymore. And I'm thankful that it's going out as quickly as it is, but it consumes nearly all my excess time, and so there is a day when it's going to end, signing them, that is. You'll continue to be able to get the book, but right now, to get a first edition autographed copy of The Quickening, call 24 hours a day, and now might be a good time to try. 1-800-864-7991. That's 1-800-864-7991. If you want to know what we're right in the middle of, it's in that book. Without question, when you are done, you will understand.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
You guys got it. Open lines, unscreened. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Might even do that tomorrow night, too. I don't know.
Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
By the way, on my website, Famous Last Words, a Talkers magazine, an industry magazine, has rated the top 10 talk show hosts in America. Actually, they put out two lists. They put out one every year that has the top 100 talk show hosts in America. And I guess for the last couple of years, they have also now started a top 10 list. And without telling you whether I'm on it, or if I am where I might be on it, it's on the website. So you might want to take a look. If you have a computer, it's www.artbell.com. If you don't have a computer but have web TV, it's still www.artbell.com. It's in, it is the first item in the latest news and items section on my website right now. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Bob in Pasco, Washington.
How you doing?
Pretty good. But we got a problem up here.
Uh-oh.
The city of Pasco is determined to pass a mandatory inspection ordinance, which will allow them to inspect our home every 2 years.
For what?
This is for rentals. This is for code violations, like if we have exposed wires or, you know, leaky faucets.
Well, look, when you rent, it's not quite the same thing. I'll tell you a little story, okay?
Okay.
I lived for about a year in Las Vegas in an apartment. And I found that the people who owned those apartments had the right with the master key to come in and inspect for code or safety violations virtually anytime they wanted to. And you know what made me finally move out? I had never... I mean, I'm really good at paying my bills. I pay my bills always ahead of time. I'm fanatical about it. And so I never, ever missed rent. I always paid my rent ahead of time. And I'd been there about a year. And they began a policy, which is the most arrogant thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Not only were they doing inspections and walking in sometimes unannounced, but they began issuing eviction notices 30 days ahead of time. So that if you didn't pay your rent, you would have already been served. And I told them what they could do with their apartment. And I was out of there like a shot.
Yeah. Well, now, do you think this is an invasion of our privacy?
Yes, I certainly felt invaded. Yes.
You know.
I suppose they can make the case that because apartments are connected dwellings, anything unsafe in your apartment endangers somebody else or many other people. They can make that case.
Well, but of course.
Is it an invasion? Yeah.
Of course, this is going to be for houses that are as rentals, too. So, you know, they may not be connected. But they're not going to do this to private homes, you know, where the owner is living in the home.
Right.
And I just wanted to call you up and let you know that this was going on, and maybe we could get some feedback from your audience.
Well, you feel invaded. Thank you. I'm sure there will be feedback, sure. And the story I told you is exactly true about what occurred in Las Vegas, and I told them what they could do with their apartment. Oh, by the way, while we're on that subject of general disgruntlement, Art, I think Jesus probably would agree with your stance. Talking about revenge here. Forgiveness does not necessarily entail lack of punishment. If this were the case, Christians would be required to protest against prisons. A good case, and boy, is he right. A good case in point from the Bible is when Jesus ran through the temple, trashing all the moneylenders' tables and money everywhere. I'm sure he forgave them, but under certain circumstances requiring more than turning the other cheek, and certainly Jesus understood that. Very, very good point from Christian, the name in St. Louis. On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Just fine. Where are you?
I'm in Vancouver.
Vancouver, yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to, like, congratulate you about all the good news you're spreading to everybody about the quickening.
Well, it depends on, I don't know if it's good or bad, it just is, sir.
It is, definitely. So we think it's good news up here, though. It's like, you know, kind of a completion, right?
Well, people keep asking me about that. I'm not sure if it's a completion or the ending of one thing and the beginning of another.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. It's an event that's to be soon.
I don't know. To me, it feels kind of like a triumph for mankind, you know? That's what I think the quickening is going to be. It's just going to be like the grand finale, and everybody's just going to love it. We're going to find bliss.
Well, that's the optimistic view.
Anyway, I wanted to thank you for having Terrence McKenna on the show the other night. That was quite interesting.
I have arranged, you know, we did not repeat that program. And I have arranged to have it repeated this coming Sunday night, Monday morning.
Sunday night, Monday morning.
You got it.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call on the international line. And again, I'm very, very remiss in not giving that number out as I should. It's 800-893-0903. And from anywhere in the world, Europe, Asia, wherever, it is toll-free. All you do is get the AT&T operator and have her call that number, and it won't cost you a penny. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How you doing tonight?
Okay.
This is Paul in Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to kind of talk about the weather. You know, we had these bad tornadoes and everything, and we found out today that the National Weather Service upgraded the Gerald tornado to an F5.
That was an F5. Oh, my
yes,
God.
Sir,
that is the very top of the category of tornado that can be.
Yes, sir. That's correct. They characterize it as being incredible.
Well,
an F4 is like 200 mile per hour winds to
yep.
260.
Yep.
F5 is simply incredible.
Yep.
So
I saw the quickness with which the system that produced those tornadoes and that tornado formed, and it was absolutely amazing. Anybody who can't look around them right now and see clearly that our weather is changing and not for the better has their eyes shut and their head in the sand.
Yes, sir. It was incredibly quick. I had gone to bed about 2 to 3 o'clock that day, and there was one tiny little storm up by Waco, which is, I'd say 80 miles to 100 miles north of Austin, and within an hour and a half, it had grown to what it, you know, to what had happened. So, you know, it is definitely changing, and
I know
this is something that's unprecedented in Central Texas. Just doesn't, it hadn't happened, you know, so we were all taken by surprise. But I guess people's eyes are open now that it can happen anywhere and at any time. So, you know.
Well, what people have to do, thank you, is prepare. They have to prepare. It's getting to the point where I'm advising you to prepare. I really mean that. And that doesn't mean go crazy. It means have food on hand. It means have water on hand, have light, have emergency communications. The basics. Because things are changing. And there are going to be more and more people without power and telephone and all the basics that you take for granted because they're always there. And believe me, when the weather goes, they are the first to go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. Good morning, Art. I just had to hit the switch on the tube radio here.
Thank you.
This is Matt in Ellendale, Minnesota.
Did you say tube radio?
Well, it's a tube amplifier.
Cool. I still love tubes.
Yeah, I do too. Well, it just happens to be what I have handy to run this thing, and that's the way it is.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I piece things together. But, you know, a few months ago, I guess there are a few things to comment on. This is pretty much off of everything you've been talking about, but
all right.
You talked about broadcasting by, you know, allow the general public, I guess for lack of a better term, maybe we call it amateur broadcasting.
Pirate radio.
Right.
I mean, until it is declared to be legal, it is pirate radio.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what about it?
You had brought up the fact that, well, I guess I've been saying for 10 years or more that we ought to have this, you know, that the individuals have, individual people have the right to broadcast, you know, because
well,
certainly we have freedom of the press and freedom of expression, and
well,
freedom of the press certainly is radio, isn't it?
Well, I take a middle position, all right? In other words, for the sake of proper information dissemination, I don't want to see complete anarchy either in the AM or FM bands. However,
I think we have to have it in a separate band.
However, having said that, I think there are a lot of areas where FM allocations could be given small low power FM allocations.
Yep.
In the present band, I think that the Federal Communications Commission could consider an area, for example, just above the present band in the expansion area,
yep,
where people could be allowed to put small, low-power stations on the air, and I am a supporter.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I have a question. You, first of all, in your book, is your book going to be available on audio tape?
Eventually.
Okay.
That's an honest answer. In other words, you know, writing a book is an incredible process.
Yeah,
it takes a lot out of you. And so when you get one done, it's hard to consider another project right away. So that's my answer, eventually.
Well, that's the way it is with any project.
Yep.
Another thing you mentioned, your show is going to be starting an hour earlier.
Correct.
Now, like, I listened back here on WTAM or WLS, whichever one happens to come in better, and I'm here in southern Minnesota, carries it that we hear. And so are they going to be starting an hour earlier, too, or how are they going to do that?
Well, I'm not about the two specific stations, TAM and the mighty TAM and the mighty WLS.
Yeah,
I really can't answer whether they will begin doing that right away or will do it after a while. On a case-by-case basis. In other words, stations have obligations. They're going to try to run it earlier, but contractual things sometimes take time, so it could be 2 or 3 months, or it could happen right away. I don't know, to answer your question. I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't keep you, and the weather is certainly changing. We have had an unsmooth transition from winter to spring. It's just not happening very fast around here. So.
I hear that. Thank you very much for the call. Yep, it's changing, all right. Sure it is. Now, you can imagine it to be a spike, an abnormally high spike in one direction or the other, you know, that the weather is cyclical, and that we are just experiencing an abnormally strong spike of violent weather, or you may conclude that we are in the birth pangs of a permanent change, or at least as far as the short life of human beings is concerned, a permanent change. I am beginning to believe the latter. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Scott from Silver City, New Mexico.
Well, hi there.
Hello. Hello. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about a heart transplant change of personality.
A change of heart, I think it's called. Actually, there is a book called Change of Heart, and I'm trying to get hold of the lady who wrote that book. I want to talk to her.
I see. Well, I had a couple of things I wanted to mention this time, different. One about how the pyramids were possibly built. Back in 1980, I read an article in the San Francisco Chronicle. It talked about a French chemist who literally got a chip off of one of the old blocks there in Egypt.
Do you have any idea how illegal that is? I mean, to take any artifact away from Giza, I don't know what they do to you for doing that, but probably I don't want to know. You know, they take a body part of yours as a souvenir.
I'm not sure what he lost in trade for this, but maybe they even gave it to him for research. I'm not sure. But the point was that he took it back to his laboratory and dissolved it in some sort of acid solution.
Yes.
And at the bottom of the beaker, there was an inch-long human hair, and it cleaned the thing off.
Wow.
And his only conclusion was that the hair had to have been inside the block, the piece of...
Right. And the only way that it could get inside the block
would be that
the block was molten at some point.
That would have probably melted the hair. No, he surmised that it was actually poured like concrete.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant when I said molten.
Okay. Yes, liquid, and he was able to figure out which minerals and whatnot, you know, could be used to do this, and said that, you know, people probably just brought the raw materials in baskets and made a mold and poured them in place.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that theory, and it makes sense, I think, to me.
Well, it did, you know, and that was 15, 17 years ago, and I've never heard a thing about it since then, so I was just kind of curious to see whether you'd heard of that or not.
I had heard of it, yes, and it is indeed very interesting. I am so looking forward. Actually, you know, we've got two cruises coming up. One of them is going to Alaska in August, and that one's coming up pretty quickly now, and the other is going to Egypt and Rome and Greece and the Greek islands. And the first cruise to Alaska, God, I want to get back to Alaska, it's been so long, is going to be August 23rd. And I think we have one opening there. And the second cruise to Egypt is October 1st. So, if you would like to come along on either one or both, do you know there are actually some people coming on both of our cruises? I'm going to give you the number now you can call to ensure that you do come along. And the way it's working now is both of these cruises are full. However, having said that, I think there might be one or two openings in each one at the moment. Now, that occurs as people book and then decide, and then something happens. You know, they become ill, or they decide, I can't do that, or I have another obligation, or, you know. So we're trying to keep you informed as time marches on, and inevitably it does. So if you would like to come along on either one of our absolutely incredible cruises, one to Alaska, one to Greece and Rome and Egypt and the pyramids, you need to call the following number after 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. It's 1-800. Oh, God, what is it? I've forgotten the number. I have forgotten the number for the cruise. Oh, no. Let's see. 1-800. I've forgotten the number. I know the last four is 7120. Oh, I just went through all that, and I have forgotten the number. That's real bad news. Well, you know, I have so many 800 numbers that I just simply can't remember them all. And I certainly don't want to give out the wrong one, so that was really dumb. I forgot the number. All right, so I'll dig the number out and get it on the air after the top of the hour. Anyway, so if that number, maybe it's good. If that's a number that you have been waiting for, go and get a pencil and a piece of paper, and after the top of the hour, I will give that number out. The number for the two cruises. That's absolutely amazing. That's just great. Do a whole promo. Get down to the critical moment. Depend on your memory. And there it goes. Thank you, Terrence McKenna. By the way, we're going to replay that program this weekend.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29, 1997.
And very embarrassing, short-term memory lapse, no doubt. I advertised the fact that we might have an opening or two on our cruises coming up before the hour, and I got to the bottom line, you know, the place where you close the deal, and you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I might want to go to Alaska, or I might want to go to Rome, and the Greek Isles, and Egypt, and all of that. 23rd to Alaska, October 1st to Egypt, and then I forgot the phone number. So, here it is. You can call after 8 o'clock in the morning. There's one or two openings in each one of those cruises, and that's about all. And so I sort of let you know about them as they occur. If you want to come along, it's going to be a blast. You know, we have meetings and autograph things and photographs and all of that. But most of all, they are luxurious, incredible, pamper-me cruises.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Art, what is going on with the FBI website situation? Can you talk about it? Chris in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to KARN. P.S., we're all listening to you all night long from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All right. Sure. Yeah, I'll talk about anything. I don't care. Keith, and it was really quite effective, Keith Rowland decided that it would be a humorous thing following the Heaven's Gate business. To put up a April 1st, he put up an apparent, I'm sure a lot of you saw it, an apparent notice from the FBI, which was a joke. It was only a joke, you know, that the website had been shut down And he had a modified FBI seal up there, and they didn't like it at all, and so they fired a letter at us. The FBI wrote a letter to the, actually, Myron McLeod, who at the time was listed as the administrator. I think I am now, so I would have received this if they had the updated information. But the letter from the FBI, let me see, I'm not going to read it on the air. I'll tell you what, Keith has put it up on the website. See, here's another reason why you need web TV. I'm telling you right now, those of you who don't have web TV, you're crazy. Web TV is wonderful. It's easy. One button, boom, and you're on the web. Anyway, right now on my website, if you will click on FBI, can't take an April Fool's joke, we have indeed done as they have requested. Of course you do. You know, it's the Justice Department, right? So we have taken down the joke, which was still visible if you knew where to go, and that's all gone. But we have posted the FBI letter to our website. It's up there right now under the category of, under latest news and items, FBI can't take an April Fool's joke. And so there's quite a bit of new stuff up there. You might take a look. It's www.artbell.com. So, yeah, sure, I can talk about it. And the other item that I'm talking about, and then we're back to open lines here, is revenge. Somebody sent me a fax late yesterday morning that hit me pretty hard. And I'm willing to talk about it. It says, "Hi, Art, I heard you say the other night that you are Christian." Well, call me then not a Christian, if you wish. I'm not really sensitive about whether you think I am or not. I don't care. I believe in a creator. I believe Jesus walked on earth, you know. But I don't buy everything sold by every organized religion out there. So if that, anyway, he goes on. "I also just heard your comments on revenge. Not consistent, Art. The essence of Christ's message is forgiveness. Sincerely, Mike in Campbell, California." And I am not one who forgives. I get revenge. I am a revengeful person. Now, I want to be very careful to separate that from a vengeful person. I don't go out and initiate. I don't go out and pick fights. But I don't run away from them either. And if somebody does something to me, you better stand back because I'm coming after you. I've been that way all my life, and I'm never going to change. And if that means I'm not a Christian, then I guess I am not a Christian. That was from Mike in Campbell, California. So there you are, Mike. And I thought it worth talking about. "Hi, Art. Here's another one. Your comments were great. It reminded me of a story of a spiritual master telling a student that he's completed freedom to do whatever he wants. The student then adds, as long as it doesn't hurt another. The master disappears for a while. Then, unknown to the student, the master appears as a vampire. Ooh. The vampire approaches," I haven't read this yet, "and requests blood from the spiritual student. He, of course, is very scared and tells the vampire, come any closer and he will do the vampire great harm. He grabs a weapon and is about to attack the vampire. Vampire then says, quote, it will hurt me if you don't give me your blood, end quote. The student will have no part of this and is ready to do great harm to the vampire. The student learned that others can always be harmed by your actions. Whether you don't give blood to a vampire or don't give all of your earnings to the starving, every action can be looked upon as harming another. We have freedom to do anything. But as you stated, the law of karma, action-reaction applies. For every action, there is an equal and opposite one takes place. Plant love and it grows. Plant hate and it grows. Feed parasites and they grow. Take care, Mark." And so my creed is do unto others as they do unto you. Or perhaps if you consider karma, and there are a lot of people think that, you know, if somebody does something bad to you, it will come back and haunt them times 4, 5, 10, whatever. I say, help karma out. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Rick in Tacoma.
Hello, Rick.
Good show. Thanks for keeping me awake on the night shift.
Well, that's what we're here for, I guess. That and coffee. Have you seen the price of coffee lately?
Don't touch the stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Cherry Coke is my vice.
I see. Well, it's just... What's the difference between that and coffee? Do you know how much caffeine there is in that?
It's the taste,
all right, but you use the same thing.
Sure. It's not the caffeine that bothers me. It's the taste of coffee.
I see.
I've never been able to get past that.
Well, it's an acquired taste. I might add, by millions, and now it's getting really expensive. Wow.
Yeah. Starbucks just jacked theirs up, I noticed.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anywho, a prediction.
I like predictions.
The McVeigh thing goes to jury tomorrow morning.
Yes.
There will be a verdict before the end of the weekend.
I'd say that's a pretty good prediction. There might even be a verdict. There might even be a verdict before the end of the day.
I'd be almost willing to put money on that, too. Yeah.
So we'll see. But juries are strange things, and you never know. And the difference here is, from the outside, and the way the press has been reporting this story,
mm-hmm.
I think you would have to conclude that they're going to come back with a guilty verdict.
I have no doubt of that.
However, without having been able to see the proceedings mm-hmm. unfold, there may be something we don't know, and I don't trust the larger press anymore completely.
This is also true.
And so you just never know. And with that little caveat, yeah, I think it's going to come back quick, too.
And also a quick suggestion for a guest I think would be really good.
Who?
If you can get a hold of Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy promised me an interview.
In fact,
I need to send him some email. He said when he finished his last book, he'd do an interview with me. Hey, Tom!
Which is good reading, by the way.
Hey, Tom!
His latest book is worth getting a hold of.
I'm a big Clancy fan.
Yeah.
I thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Take care. Yeah. Hey, Tom, remember your email? You said you'd be a guest. You said you couldn't do it while you were writing the book because you didn't want to, you really had to concentrate on the book. Remember, Tom? So, come on, Tom. Take a few minutes out late at night and come be a guest. We would like to talk to you. I love what he does. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Jimmy up in Temescal, Washington.
Hi there.
I'd like to tell you something that you talked about. Years ago, I worked in Vegas at the old Hughes Terminal.
Oh, yes.
And when the charters would come in from Europe, they'd bring in milk, and it'd be in triangular pyramid-shaped cartons.
Really?
And they said that was to preserve them. Even the little creamers were that way. I was just wondering, that's maybe those flowers that you advertise in triangular boxes. That's why they do that, to keep them fresh.
I will ask Dexter Yard. Pyramid power.
Right. That's exactly right. All the milk cartons, even the quarts, would be in triangular, in a pyramid-shaped carton.
Very nice.
And I asked one of the stewardesses, I said, what are they for? She said, that keeps them fresh. They just throw them in boxes, and a certain amount of them will stay fresher.
Well, there is. I really appreciate that. Thank you. There is, I think, no doubt that there is something to that. Now, I don't know. Well, it's one of the great mysteries of all of life, isn't it? The pyramids. How they were built. Why they are there. What they mean. And they are, Giza, there's no question, is a very special place on the planet. I am really, really looking forward to going there. Art, you are correct when you mentioned those poor people in Texas affected by that tornado. I do wonder, though, how something as this occurs, how anyone could believe in a God, the one entity who is supposedly, who supposedly could have prevented this disaster. It's just one example that makes me such an avid atheist. Ooh, it's Mark, the atheist in Louisiana. Well, Mark, I'm not sure that God's in the business of preventing the day-to-day occurrences here on Earth or perpetrating them. And when he instilled free will, he probably gave something of the very same sort to Mother Nature and to Earth itself. And it is not inconsistent to believe, at least as far as I am concerned, that what we are doing is provoking a change or a quickening, Mark. So even as a disbeliever in God, and you leap, I know, on every opportunity to say that, you know, when somebody is killed or a child dies, Mark writes to me and says, there is no God. You see, he says, there is no God. I just don't look at it that way. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, this is Austin from Kansas.
Yes, sir.
And I'm really glad to be back on the road again where I can listen to you tonight. I've enjoyed your show.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to, I don't know if this would be considered a commercial blurb, but to thank you for the Always Fresh Flowers commercial, because I did that. And I do well site geology. I sit out on when we drill the wells and look at the cuttings and evaluate. And that one year that I sent that to my wife, I'd gone 266 days. So I had them delivered at a given time at 1:30 p.m., I think, in the afternoon. I called her about a quarter till 2, and she's crying. And I think, you know, wow, what's happened now? And I finally got her to where she could be, would talk to me, and, oh, they're so beautiful, and it blew me away, you know, just flowers, a simple gesture.
I try to tell people that's how women react.
It's a guaranteed fact, and
yep.
We've done that since then with other people, to just a pleasant surprise, a way of say, hey, we think about you, and I hear something beautiful for you, and it's amazing.
Well, I sincerely appreciate that, and it's a better advertisement than I could ever do.
Well, thank you, sir. But I do enjoy your show and the six-legged frogs. I live along Crooked Creek in Meade County, Kansas, and we found some the school kids found some six-legged frogs back in the fall. I was going to fax you the article, and then I got shifted where I stayed on Rome, so I did not want to use my cell phone to fax through. But I've got an overflow pond for my windmill that's full of polywogs, and I'm eagerly awaiting their maturity.
Good luck to you, sir, in your endeavor. And the way things are going these days, I think you won't have a problem. You'll probably find them. Some of these deformities are very serious. Very, very serious. And the ones that worry me the most are the ones now being reported in the Antarctic regarding the singular or simple-celled creatures, which are showing not just physical deformities, but actual genetic change. There really is there's a gulf a mile wide between deformity problems that you can argue might be parasites and genetic change that is produced by increased ultraviolet radiation, in all probability. That is something you had better think about really, really hard. I have been. It is part of what I call the quickening. And I wrote a lot about it in there. So, again, if, you know, they're going like hotcakes now. They're going like crazy. The second printing is here. Is being shipped now. In other words, if you call, they ship the book now. And you can still get an autographed copy of The Quickening if you want one for now. And I'm going to stop this soon, because a hand can only take so much. But if you want an autographed copy, a first edition autographed copy, we're ready to ship. The number is 1-800-864-7991. It's a very important book. And you know, so far, I've had a lot of good reaction and good reviews on the book, but what I have not had is what I expected, was a lot of anger. And I think the reason that I haven't had a lot of anger yet is because you cannot refute facts. While there is some fiction in the book that I wrote, usually at the beginning of the chapter, to illustrate where we think this particular condition is leading, human condition or environmental condition, while there is some fiction, which, you know, makes it very interesting, there is also a wealth of factual material that is backed up. And I think the reason that so far I've not experienced a lot of anger in response is because it's very hard to be angry when you're reading facts, when you can't deny them, when the sources are listed. And that's the case in my book. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Chris in Atlanta.
Yes, sir. WGST.
Yeah, real happy you were here. I used to have to kind of juggle in Cleveland. I was just interested in alternative health, and I was just wondering about a couple of guests. I wondered if you ever had. Have you ever had Patrick Flanagan on before?
Familiar name, but I don't think so.
Patrick was one of these guys that was like at 17, was experimenting with rockets and that kind of thing. And he invented like a neurophone, which like bypassed the hearing process. And
well, he sounds like my kind of guy.
Sent a square wave directly to the brain.
Do you have
same kind of thing as about Andrej Puharich. Have you ever had him on?
No, but I'm willing to entertain, and as you must know by now, even in the short time listening there, I'll have anybody on the air. If they're interested.
He's in somewhere around Sedona, and the other guy is Christopher Hills. Since the other night you were talking a lot, with Wayne Green, you got to talking about consciousness, and I believe from everybody I've read about Dr. Hills knows more about consciousness than anybody.
All right, here's what I would ask. Thank you very much, and I'm glad to have them on, but help me out, if you would, please. And here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that if you want a guest on, I'm happy to have them on, but, and it's a big but, if you have any contact information for them, please send that along as well. Because trying to track somebody down just with a name, without a publisher, without some kind of contact number, let me tell you, that's a rough road to hoe. So if anybody has any contact information, please include that.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
God, I love this song. I really do. Ran at the end of 12 Monkeys, and ever since then. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
east of the Rockies. You're on the air, top of the morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe it.
Well, you're going to have to try.
I have a question.
Okay, where are you, first?
This is Michael from Houston.
Yes, sir.
When you had, was it Major Ed Dames?
Yes,
on,
yes.
And you were talking and said he had a tape about remote viewing?
Yes.
Do you know anything about that? When he's going to put it out?
I know that it was supposed to be out by now.
Yes, sir.
I
got a letter from him.
Oh, you got a letter?
Yeah, and it was. He said it was supposed to be out in April, and I haven't heard anything since April.
That's right. So it was delayed. I know that. I'll try and contact Ed, or Ed, send me something telling me when it is going to be out, and I'll put out the information.
So those guys out here at work, we work shift work. We all went in together and bought the first tape.
So
we were still waiting on it.
What? I want to ask you a question.
Surely.
Let us presume that you get the tape,
yeah,
and you become proficient in remote viewing. Let's say it's able to do that for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the technology?
I have no earthly idea.
See, that's what scares me.
Yeah, I understand that, but I listen to your show all the time, and I listened to that show that night, and it just really interested me that somebody could do something like that.
I know.
I don't have any idea what I would do with it.
Well, then do this for me. After you get the tape, and if you're able to do it, call me and tell me what you did with it.
Surely.
All right?
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, we'll get word from Ed, and when I do, I will get it on the air. Huh. Yeah, I've wondered about that. All of those remote viewers out there, all of those disembodied people floating about, looking at this and that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Hi.
Well, I figured out why Clinton, Gore, and Bush agree with giving Red China first-class trade status.
Why?
Because they are jealous that Red China has slave labor.
I don't agree with that.
It sure seems that way.
Well, I don't agree with it. And I don't think that including China as a preferred trading partner means that they're jealous of slave labor. There is slave labor in China.
Yeah,
I'm not naive. As a matter of fact, I was there. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a little story about China. We had a, you know, when you're in communist China, and I was, they provide you with a tour guide, a state tour guide, okay, you know, and they provide you with two or three people who are on the tour who are working for the state, if you follow me. So they monitor very carefully what's going on, and I sat up at the front of the bus with the state tour guide, you know, at a microphone, and he was answering questions as we were on our way further and further into inland China. Mainland China. And I asked him, is it true or is it not that prisoners in China are forced to make products? That there is forced labor? And he stopped for a moment. Everybody on the bus with me will remember this. And he said, oh, no. Oh, no, not in China. He said, the only kind of work that prisoners do is what they volunteer for. You know, and I kept looking for where the microphone was because there was one there somewhere. And so once he answered that question that way, I just gave up. I mean, I realized I was going to get the state line from then on in. Oh, no, only volunteers. You know, people who volunteer their kidneys on request and that sort of thing. Volunteers. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Tim in Denver.
Hello, Tim.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I've got just a couple announcements about the Art Bell Chat Club, if I may.
All right. The cells, the cults.
The cells, the cults. First of all, we have a new toll-free number. If anyone is interested in contacting us, it's absolutely free now.
You have a toll-free number now?
We sure do.
That means you've come up in the world.
We've come up just a little bit.
What is this toll-free number?
Okay, Art, it's 1-800...
Oh, you got an 800 number. I didn't think you'd get those anymore.
Actually, I was very lucky. They had just a couple 888 numbers, but I did get an 800 number for the club. 881-4515. 1-800-881-4515, and this will get you information for any of our Art Bell chat clubs, San Antonio, Austin, Sarasota, Florida, or the main club here in Denver.
Or if you want to form your own cell.
Exactly. If you'd like to form your own club, we have clubs starting all over the country. There might be a club in your area already forming and just hasn't got to the stage where they're having their first meeting yet. But I do want to thank Keith Rowland. He's put us up front on the webpage and did a terrific write-up. And
He's great. Keith is great.
And,
did you read the FBI thing, by the way, Tim?
I sure did.
I guess they really can't take a joke, huh?
No, they sure can't. And if I can, Lynn Buchanan and his staff, the remote viewer,
yes.
I want to thank them for contacting me about his presentation. He's going to be in Denver in July, and we're working on possibly getting together with Mr. Buchanan. And also the people at Llewellyn Press and Publications up in St. Paul, Maynard Fries up there, has been giving me lists and lists of speakers that are just absolutely very interested in coming.
Well,
to our
this is actually why I support what you're doing, Tim. As I've told you on the air before, I don't want Art Bell fan clubs. To hell with that. I don't need them. But you know, the way you're doing it is the right way. You're forming these clubs, and then you're having people come and talk to you about the things we talk about on the air. Now, to me, that makes sense. And I really like it, so I hope it continues to grow. All right, so the 800 number?
1-800-881-4515.
And you can either find out if there is a club in your area, A, or B, how to form one, huh?
Exactly. And one more thing. I've got to thank Bob and Sue Crane. They have been terrific. They've been supporting the chat clubs. They advertise in our newsletter. I can call Sue up and say, Sue, I need 24 catalogs because we have new clubs forming. And we have C. Crane catalogs. Of course, we have past publications of your newsletter. If people would like to take a gander at it, see exactly what kind of information is available. We have your books available. That's the kind of thing, our brochures to Alaska. I try to keep those stocked up. So if a person hasn't had an opportunity to get that kind of information, we have them available at the clubs, and we kind of keep that kind of stuff stocked.
That would be the Art Bell paraphernalia.
The Art Bell paraphernalia. But Bob and Sue Crane have been terrific, and I want to thank them. And, again, thanks to Keith Rowland for all his help. And thanks to you, Art, because we couldn't have done this without your support, too.
Well, thank you. And, again, take care, Tim. The reason you got it is because of the way you're doing it. I really don't want fan clubs out there. I really don't. I think it's kind of dumb anyway. And I don't even know what you do in a fan club. Oh, boy, we really like this guy or something. However, to be dealing with the material that we deal with on this program, now you're dealing in substance, and I think it's a really, really good idea. And it does seem to turn out that a lot of the people that come on the program end up going and doing presentations in person at these so-called chat clubs. And so that's valuable. I mean, that's really neat, I think. Okay, so again, the number is 1-800-881-4515. Neat. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How's it going tonight?
It's going along just fine.
That's good. This is Alice in Kennewick, Washington.
Yes, Alice.
And I was wondering if you'd heard anything lately from Gordon Michael Scallion.
I've got a message into Gordon right now. Gordon is not doing much in public, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when he decides to become public, he will be here.
Good.
He promises me, but Gordon is a very unusual person, ma'am, and he goes through long periods where what he has done affects him physically and psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's all I can tell you.
Okay. All right, well, that's what I wanted to know.
When I know, I guarantee you, you will know.
Well, good, good. Well, we love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Art.
See you later. Yes, you will know when I know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell.
Turn the radio off, please.
Well, okay, I'm using a ghetto blaster tonight. Normally, I do use a vacuum tube receiver.
Yeah, well, then turn off the ghetto blaster.
Yeah, well, I did.
Okay, thank you.
Like I say, normally, I'm an electronics buff, and I build kinds of stuff, and I usually use a Nationalist W3, which is a 1933 regenerative receiver.
A Nationalist W3, wow.
Tonight, I'm using a $70 AWOL Ghetto Blaster because, very frankly, I am in the other room and...
Well, pun intended, sir, whatever gets you through the night.
There you go. I wanted to ask you about something that I think was pretty... Oh, the flower deal.
Yes.
And not to divert from that. I went to see a band called the Jazz Passengers here about, oh, 3 months ago.
Right.
This being a group that, they're a jazz group from New York, and they, to make a long story short, they got Deborah Harry singing with them nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, she does. And you know what?
What?
Just as it happens, as I was walking past there, there was some flowers for sale. I thought, you know, on the off chance that I'd get into, you know, actually, you know, get to talk to her or something like that, I just bought one. And I got in there and wound up the place wasn't terribly packed. They did the show, which they were very good, by the way. And so afterwards, I'm about ready to walk out, and there's this huge commotion, and she's over there on the stage signing autographs. So I walk up there and quietly queue up, you know, and there's all these people. And anyways, I give her this flower, and she just, oh, she went nuts. She loved it.
Well, there you are.
These females just love them flowers.
I know. Boy, Deborah Harris, she's a cutie.
She's a good-looking guy. She's not a teenager anymore, I must tell you. But
no, well, you know, it passes.
Yeah, she's when I was in high school, and that was a long time ago, she was the big thing. And so I finally got to meet her and talk to her, and she was pretty intelligent. She's into some of the things that you talk about on the show. I've read her book, the one she did with Chris Stein and the other guy. And she's into the various things that... I guess Artbellian type material. Is that a fair term?
Artbellian type material? I don't know. Thank you. Artbellian type material. Let me think about that. It's just material. It just happens to be I'm the one who is pressing investigation into these matters. Bellian material. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Brett calling from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe I got on.
Everybody seems to say that.
Well, you got so many affiliates on the eastern half of the U.S. now that it's pretty tough for us to get through.
It is certainly true, but at least you have your own separate line. Imagine if you didn't.
Right. Okay, well, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. A couple of weeks you were talking about movies that you watch over and over again.
Yes.
And the movie that I love to watch over and over again is Braveheart with Mel Gibson.
You're right. That's definitely in that category.
Yeah, it's the best. I believe it's the best movie I've ever seen. I also want to talk to you about the Oklahoma bombing.
Okay.
There's a guy that you know. His name is Bob Fletcher.
Yes. That would be the Montana Militia, or at least he was.
Yeah, he's formerly with Montana Militia.
Right.
He did a video, or he's in possession of a video, I haven't seen it yet, where he says that the video contains footage of him taking two more bombs out of the building after the blast.
Okay, that I haven't seen. I certainly clearly recall after the initial blast, I sat there like everybody else watching on CNN as they cleared city blocks around because they said they had located more bombs inside.
Right.
If you examine the structural nature of the damage and try to compare it to the crater and other aspects of the explosion, not everything adds up, and there may well have been something inside. Now, does that lead where Mr. Fletcher might imagine it leads or not? I don't know that proves that. In other words, who put them there?
Okay, well, there were some real quick points here that I want to point out that it doesn't seem like it's ever been brought up on your show, is that that truck bomb that went off,
yeah.
I mean, it's way too small to do the damage to that building that was done to it. I mean, if you're gonna have a blast, it's going to take down this part of a building like that did.
Yeah, but see, what you're saying is where Fletcher no doubt was trying to lead, and that is that the government planted its own explosives, and I'm not buying that for a second.
Well,
I think there may have been more explosives involved, and we may never be able to prove one way or the other whether there were or not.
Okay, well, that's one of the things I wanted to point out here, is the ATF, all the ATF guys, they were cleared out of that building.
That's not a true statement.
That is.
It is not.
Well,
there were a majority who were out for a function, but there were ATF that were in that building, sir.
Yeah, and they lied about where they were, too, because their stories never checked out.
Well, I mean, look, you know, with the statements you're making, you're misleading people. You're saying all the ATF were gone. No, they weren't.
Well, one of them claimed to be in an elevator, but they could never come up with enough evidence that was really true. And also, there are a lot of lawsuits. People that lost relatives in that bombing, they have lawsuits against the government because they knew about it in advance.
Well, prove it.
Well, I know, but I'm saying
prove it.
That these attorneys would not be filing lawsuits against the government.
Oh, baloney. Us attorneys will file lawsuits against anybody you pay them to file lawsuits against. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, the truck that Tim McVeigh rented was not the truck that blew up.
The evidence is to the contrary again. I'm sorry, but
also one last thing I want to get in.
Yes.
Is that there was a woman that had a lot of Howe was her last name.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
I don't know.
She was supposed to. The defense attorneys wanted her to testify, and naturally the judge would not let her testify. Why?
With respect to?
Because she had a lot of information about who really did the bombing.
Yeah. Well, so it is said. Look, I was not in the courtroom. You were not in the courtroom. Cameras were not in the courtroom. So this is a whole bunch of second guessing as far as I'm concerned.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny."
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning. Thought I'd warm it up a little bit. It's open lines all morning long, folks. Anything you want to do is fair game under the moonlight. I don't do dedications, you know. Plus for Rosalie. Well, you're going to like this one. This is the Associated Press, folks. Scientists have managed to insert a large chunk of human DNA into mice. They call it an astonishing breakthrough that will allow a new generation of research into genes, birth defects, and genetic diseases. And, of course, that is the upside. The downside? Well, I'm sure it couldn't happen, but imagine the horror of a human face and a mouse body. I wonder what a cat would think of that.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Okay, here we go again. East of the Rockies, you are upon the air. Good morning. Hello. Going once, going twice. Gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes. Turn your radio off.
Yes, Art.
Yes.
I'm calling on behalf of my father, who wants to know about rods. If you have any information on rods, he hasn't heard about it in quite a while.
Jose Escamilla is the rod guy, and we'll have him back on the air pretty soon. Is there any new information on rods?
Yes.
Yes, there is. And Jose has it, and I will have Jose Escamilla back on the air in due time, and there will be more on rods.
Okay. One more question.
Sure.
About your bumper music.
Yes.
Taking any requests? Do you have to get permission for that?
Well, I mean, I'm always willing to consider, but pretty much what I do is just I play stuff that I like.
Really? Well, that's the best. I guess that's the best bet then.
But, well, I mean, what are you talking about here?
Spacey music. We need some spacey music, brother.
Spacey music.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff out there. I'm just wondering if you maybe would accept a tape or something like that?
Yes, always.
Okay.
All right. I don't guarantee to play it. Thank you. There's a guy really angry with me right now because I won't play a song. And, I accept submissions, but that doesn't automatically mean I'm going to play it. And people, I guess they're under the misimpression that if they send something, it's automatically going to get played. That's just not true. If I really like a piece of music, I play it. If I don't, I don't. And if that drives you to distraction and anger, I don't in any way mean to insult you. Years ago, I did music radio. I was a music director at one time. And you pick music according to your music taste buds. That's all. And just because I don't pick it doesn't mean it isn't good and you shouldn't be insulted. It just means that it didn't strike a chord with me. But I'll listen, you bet. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Hey, whatever happened to your Levitron commercials?
Well, they're on Dreamland.
Oh, they're on Dreamland.
Right now, Levitron's running on Dreamland, but Levitron is still absolutely available.
Oh, yeah, I got one. And it took me a while to get it going, but...
How much frustration did you experience?
I can get it flying if someone else can spin it for me. I just can't spin it.
Well, you know,
I think only women can spin it.
No, it's not true. Did you know that they've got an automatic spinner?
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
A little thing you just put in and you punch it and it spins it.
Oh, that's what I have to get then.
See, there you are.
That's
ask and you shall receive.
You know, I had a question about your first sighting, your triangle sighting.
Yes.
Sighting. Now, do you remember details of how it looked, or was it just maybe...
I will never forget any detail of that, sir.
Were there details on the outside of the ship? I mean,
the craft was solid black.
Mm-hmm.
It was against a clear night with a nearly full moon.
Right.
And although I can't say that I saw windows and guys waving, I clearly saw the skin of the craft. I mean, it was that close.
Wow.
It was right over my head, I mean, we're talking classic stars go away, moon goes away, craft passes directly over you. Serious, serious encounter.
Yeah, well, I've seen several of those out in the Borrego, Anza Borrego Desert, but they're usually pretty high up.
Oh, no. This one was low, slow, and deadly silent.
So when it passed over you, I mean, did you have any time loss or anything? Was there...
It's funny you should mention that. None that I know of, but uh-huh. I was in such a state, even with my second sighting, same deal. I was in such a, it's like you're in some sort of suspended state of belief.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even describe it to you. You just, everything stops, so I'm not exactly sure.
Well, maybe some hypnosis or something,
Who knows? I mean, nothing that I know of. But you must admit, I'm weird.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, you never know.
Well, you know, a lot of people who see things, they remember memory loss or time loss, and these memories start coming back. And
maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, that'd
maybe
be great.
One night when I'm on the air, I'll start to go, Oh, my God! Oh, the needles! I remember now, suddenly! Something will key it for me.
You could say I didn't ask for the anal probe or something. Yeah.
Please. this conversation is going downhill now.
Right. Okay.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Take care. I could make a comment about retentiveness, but I won't. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
I have a situation for you that I need to talk about.
Okay.
My mother is a listener of your show, and not knowing who else to talk to, I thought you might be, you might have some answers for me.
I might.
I go to a state-run school, a state-run college in California.
Right.
And I, my job is, I'm on the work-study program, and I do clerical work for the psychology department.
Okay.
And I asked for extra hours, and they told me that I there weren't any hours available, but that I could earn money doing lab experiments, doing experiments for the as a subject for the graduate students in the experimental psychology.
No, wait a minute. You were one of those subjects, or you were employed to do testing on them?
No, I was employed as a subject.
As a subject.
Because I work in the department, within the department, just doing...
And what, pray tell, were they testing?
Doing clerical, just doing clerical work.
What were they testing?
What they didn't tell us. They told us they were that each of us was part of one of two groups, and one of us was going to be... I mean, they didn't tell us, but I knew the
So each little group got to drink some pink bubbling juice, and one group just got pink bubbling tainted juice, while the
pills,
other...
Pills, actually.
It was pills?
Pills.
Yeah.
And they, I assumed that one group was the placebo group, and one group was...
Yeah, control, and that's the way it works, yeah.
Right, because I work in the department, so...
Yes, and so what do you think happened?
Nothing happened for... I'd say a week, and then it started happening, is that every, well, not quite every night, but I'll say every two nights, maybe, no, more than that, maybe five or six times a week.
Hair began growing on your palms.
Actually, I lose hours.
You lose hours?
I lose hours. Every, the nights that, it generally happens about this time, which is why I wanted to call, around 2 to 3 a.m., I don't know, I find myself, the next morning, 9, 10, I'm not asleep. I'll find myself walking around.
Wait a minute. You said it occurs between 2 and 3?
Generally.
Really? What time is it there now?
It's 2:15, which is why I wanted to call now.
No, it isn't. It's 4:08.
My clock says it's 2:15.
It's 4:08.
It's 4:08 in California?
No, in Nevada. Which is the same as California. It's happening. I'm just kidding, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, you panicked me there for a while. I was scared there. I thought maybe my clock was in on it, too.
No, it's still, it's actually coming up on 2:16.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a little better.
How many times have you lost time?
Probably 10.
Do you have any pills left?
No. We just got it. We went in 3 days in a row, and they gave us 2 pills each time.
Wow. What a cool story. So what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know what to suggest. I don't know what to say. With no evidence, with none of the people, how about any of the other people that were involved in the experiment? Can you get a hold of them?
I don't know who else was involved in the experiment because there are no files now. I can't, at least none that I can find. There's nothing in the computer records of these experiments that I was personally involved in.
Oh, that's really intriguing. I'm not sure that I would enlist for a specified amount of money to take an unknown something or another, you know, pink bubbling stuff, whatever. I don't think so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell?
Yes.
Yes. I guess persistence pays off. My name is Dean.
Hi, Dean.
And I'm calling from Bossier City, Louisiana.
Bossier City, Louisiana.
Shreveport.
All right.
And I'm an over-the-road truck driver.
Yes, sir?
My son got me turned on to you here about 3 weeks ago, and I guess I've become somewhat of an addict.
Well, I don't know if that's good, because that makes people think cult, you know?
Yeah.
So don't say addict. I like the show. I enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I love your show, especially the ones with, I can't remember the man's name from Oregon. With the UFO... Listening Post? Or?
Oh, no. It's Washington. You're talking about Peter Davenport from the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we have him on. You know, when things are popping, Davenport's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
He sits in the hot seat up there and takes the call. So that's,
right.
You know, he gives us the breaking news. When it happens, you'll hear it here. Yep.
Yeah, I really enjoy your shows, especially on those. But I do have one question for you.
Sure.
What is your opinion of the, not isolationist, but the separationists, like the people from Texas, those that are looking to...
Break away?
Yeah, break away, especially from our governments.
Okay, I'm glad to give you my take on it, if you'll listen. Thank you. I've got definite views on that. I do not... I am not in sympathy with what they want to do. I understand their frustration and their cynicism and why they are feeling the way they feel. But deep down, for all its troubles, I still love this country, you know. And I still believe in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and all that sort of thing. I really, really do. And I think that if states or localities began to break away, that it would be the end of all that. We are a union, and if we begin to do things that destroy and tear apart that union, there may not be another chance for something, flawed though it may be, as good as we have right now. So that's my take on it. I don't agree with them, but I do understand how they have come to believe as they do. I don't know if that answers your question, but that is my opinion. In other words, I want the union to remain together. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I have been trying to get a hold of you for about, I think, a year now.
A year. It's a long time. All right, where are you?
This is Kim from Medford, Oregon.
From where?
Medford,
Oregon. Oh, Medford, Oregon. All right.
Uh-huh.
Yes, oh, Medford, of course.
I wanted to kind of voice my opinion about the gun control thing.
Sure.
I heard you mention something about it last night.
I asked Wayne Green about it, and and he seemed to be generally in favor of gun control.
And I guess I'm kind of just the opposite.
Yeah, me too. To me, gun control is a good steady hand.
Yeah, but you know what? If you really think about it,
yes.
All of the crimes that are caused, you know,
caused?
By guns?
No, they're not. They're caused by people with guns.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. The people who cause a lot of crimes with guns,
yes.
Their guns a lot of times come from underground anyways. I buy them on the black market. They don't have them legally registered or anything anyways. And the only thing the gun control is going to do is going to monitor more the citizens who are legally
that's
getting
right.
their guns and stuff.
That's correct. That is the traditional view. In other words, when we have complete gun control, the saying goes, only the criminals will have guns, and that is absolutely correct. Look, forget the Bill of Rights. We have, in my opinion, a God-given right to protect ourselves with a force equal to that likely to be used against us, and that is lethal force, and we're talking guns here. So, as far as I'm concerned, we have a God-given right to have a gun to protect ourselves with if we need it or want it. That's all.
Definitely.
Okay, well...
And did you hear about the, it's a county, I can't remember where it is exactly now, because it's been a while since I heard about it.
Kennesaw in Georgia, where you have to have a gun, right?
Exactly, uh-huh. Yeah, and their crime rate...
Way low.
Down.
Okay, so, thank you. The rate is also way low in areas that allow, with some training, concealed permits. It's undeniable. You know, I think conversations about gun control are almost not worth having. Almost not worth having. And that's an almost because there are so many people pressing for it, so it forces the issue. But, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. You've got a right to have a gun. to protect yourself against somebody who would use that kind of force against you. I believe very strongly in that. And the only time it's worth arguing is when you have some complete mental midget come and try to argue something else. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Amanda from Wisconsin.
Where?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, all right.
Yes. I heard your show a couple months ago with Sarah McClendon.
Yes.
Oh, I really liked it. And then I got the chance to meet her.
Sarah McClendon is something else.
Oh, she's amazing. She's really funny. She's hilarious. She's awesome. And she mentioned that she was going to be on again. Do you know when that is?
She said she'd come on anytime I ask her.
Okay.
And the cool thing, you know what's really neat about interviewing people like Sarah? It's like interviewing Barry Goldwater and a few other people. They're older now. They don't give a you know what. And
yep.
They'll say whatever's on their mind. And those kind of people are really fun to interview.
Exactly. Yep. She was pretty opinionated, but, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
It's great. It was a lot of fun getting to talk to her. And I only got to talk with her for a little bit, but it was amazing.
She is the Duchess, I won't say Dean of the White House Press Corps, and I will have her on again, you can be sure.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Yeah, she's a blast. I like interviewing people who are out on the edge, and Sarah, in her own way, certainly is. She asks provocative, thorn-in-the-side questions. And she does so, she's kind of the female counterpart of Sam Donaldson in some ways. I don't know if she'd like that analogy. But she is a thorn in the side and proud of it. She's really a neat lady, very neat lady. You know, she's an original, and I really enjoy interviewing originals. There are so many copies out there and so few originals. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I refuse to start out the conversation the way most of your callers do.
By saying, how are you?
Yes, how are you tonight? Or, I can't believe I finally got through.
Well, this is a rare insight for a first-time caller.
Well, I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener.
Where are you?
I'm calling from Carson City, and that's in Nevada for your out-of-state listeners.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Listen, a couple of comments. First of all, the price of coffee definitely is outrageous.
Outrageous. I
yes.
know, and I'm a coffee drinker, and I don't intend to put up with it. Now,
no,
what can we do?
I don't know, but, you know, I think it's another one of those sin taxes.
You mean coffee is now going to become sinful? Yeah, you're probably
well,
right.
Well, there are some people that would tell you it's a sin to drink coffee.
Oh, well, they're full of it.
And speaking of sins,
yes.
Another comment I would like to make. I'm very disturbed by the gall of some of your listeners who feel that they have the right to call and criticize your spiritual views.
Oh, they do.
I know they have the right to do it, but I don't believe that they should be justified in their feeling that they have the right to do that. And yet call themselves Christians.
They probably all drink coffee.
Yes, and on the other hand, you shouldn't have to defend your views in that respect. But that's not why I called.
Well, now that is a famous line. See, now that's not why I called. There is a classic line. All right, well,
of course.
If we're going to find out why you did, you're going to have to hold on because we're at the bottom of the hour. That also
well,
is a
I
classic
can do
line.
That.
All right, then. Sit tight in Carson City.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Welcome to the program, those of you who join at this hour. Anything is possible tonight, anything at all. Who knows? But then again, that's kind of the way I like it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Now, back to That's Not Why I Called, but here she is. Why did you call?
You are definitely on a roll tonight.
Well.
No, well, what prompted my call is that you have this lilt in your voice tonight.
I do?
That is more prominent than I've heard before.
A lilt?
A lilt. Well, for lack of a better word, it may not be the...
As in I'm lilting?
Well, you're not wilting, no, but you might be lilting.
Well, you know, that is true about me. I mean,
yeah.
I am pretty much different every night. I don't hide my moods and try to be the same every day or, you know, I'd go crazy.
I've noticed that. But there was something in your tone tonight that was very reminiscent to me of the way I get when the quickening, so to speak, threatens to overwhelm me. And that's what prompted my call. Because I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate the fact that you wrote that book. I haven't gotten it yet. I've ordered it, but I haven't gotten it yet. But
well,
a good number of years ago, I noticed that things were changing, and they were changing more rapidly. And I started, you know, keeping a journal as I do. I started keeping track of all of these things. And when it got to the point where the lists were several pages long, I quit.
Right.
And then when we finally got into an area where we could pick up your program and you were talking about your book, I thought, isn't that wonderful? I'm not the only one that noticed.
That's right. And I at first, you know, the book came out, the first printing, and I guess I knew it would do well, but I've got to tell you, I was blown away. My publisher was blown away. Everybody concerned and around it was blown away. It went in 2 weeks, and it was ridiculous. And it's because it's a mass feeling. And
right.
And a lot of people have not been communicating it to each other.
That's right.
But the minute they hear it described, they go, yeah, you know,
yeah.
That's exactly what I feel.
That's right. That's right. It's very real, and
yes.
It needs to be addressed. It needs to be acknowledged, because until people acknowledge the fact that we are on a roller coaster ride right now, it's not going to change. I don't really think at this point that it is. I think it's gone beyond that. I think it's a great big pimple getting ready to burst. But you know what?
Well, that's not exactly the analogy I would have used, but same
but
effect.
I think it is.
I use a little red light in the cockpit, you know, past the point of no return, but it all means the same thing.
Well, but you know, once the pimple bursts, it heals.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
And I just wanted to lend you a little bit of moral support from the viewpoint of one who has reason to believe that we should all be willing to see this through, because when we get to the other side, I think there's going to be something wonderful.
Well, what is going to happen is supposed to happen.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. This lady is exactly right, and I don't know about the lilt. I accept what's happening. And I think that clearly, as a society, as a world, we are headed for a change. And we are in the midst of that process right now, that which I call the quickening. We're in the middle of it. And that is what I documented in the book. And people keep asking me about things as though I am a prophet, you know, Art. Well, what's it going to be? When's it going to be? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how it is going to manifest itself. The remote viewers say there is a point past which they cannot see. The Native Americans suggest that Mother Earth will swat us as a horse would a fly from its backside. The prophets say various things. The religious leaders chime in and sound very much like that as well. So from whatever discipline you hear it, those who do project and see know that it is coming. I'm not of any of those particular disciplines, so I don't know that. What I do know is that the process is underway. What I did document and prove in my book is that the process is underway. It's happening now. It's not in our future. It's already occurring. And you know it. And so do I. I just took the time and trouble to put it all together. And again, I say, you know, it's one of those books that you just don't set out to write because you want to write a book. Actually, after I wrote my first book, I said, that's it. I'm never going to write another book. And this one came out of me like a whirlwind. It wasn't like I could stop it. Do you all know what I mean? I couldn't stop it. It just came out. And that's why it's doing so well. Because it has the resonance of truth about it that's undeniable. And what I would say to you is that it is a process that I personally believe is now irreversible. And it doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means that there is a change coming and pretty soon. How's that for a timeline, huh? They always press the prophets, give me a date, I want to know when it's going to... Pretty soon. Answer is pretty soon. What it's going to be, I have no idea at all. The deal with the book is that the second printing is now selling out. Oh, jeez. I'm very happy about that, and happy and sad at the same time. I mean, we just got it. So what I'm doing until I can't do it anymore is, because everybody wants it, I'm autographing the book. Now, the day is going to come when I'm not going to do that anymore. And all I can tell you is, if you order now, I mean, it's like a day-to-day thing. If you order now, you will get an autographed first edition copy, and they have them now for immediate shipment. It's called The Quickening. And I would be very interested, by the way, in talking to some of you who have already read it, and now, of course, that is many thousands of people. And knowing if you find any points you would like to argue or that you can find as definitively incorrect. I don't think so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Odyssey.
Odyssey.
I'm in the Grassy Knoll chat room.
Yes.
They told me that if I get on to say hi to all of them.
Oh, really?
Just to confirm that I'm on.
Okay. Do they want me to come in and visit?
Yeah, they do.
I could do that.
Okay. Also, I wanted to ask if you knew anything about Oliver.
Oliver who?
Oliver, you know the half monkey, you know the guy that looks like a, or the monkey that looks like a man, sort of?
The monkey that looks like a man?
Yeah, you know that, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Oh, well, I have an article in my email. I'll send that to you.
All right.
Okay.
Would you do that?
Yes, I will.
All right, then I'll come into the Grassy Knoll chat room for a bit, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous. This is the first time I've ever called.
Oh, well, relax, it's no big deal.
Okay.
All right?
Bye.
Thanks for the call, and I'll meet you over there in the Grassy Knoll chat room. That's on America Online. It's been a few days, so I'll go in there. The way you get there is going to America Online. And go to keyword, you know, up at the top there where they have go to keyword. Click on that and just type in my name, Art Bell. And it will take you to an area called the Periscope area, and within that is the Grassy Knoll chat room. I think that's a great name for a chat room, the Grassy Knoll. And so I'll be in there, and reading caustic comments, no doubt. It is an interesting place. Chat rooms are interesting places. They're a little slice of anarchy, and inevitably you get two or three people in there, you know, who are hateful and want to cause trouble, and it turns into sort of anarchy. But that's okay. I mean, that's part of the intent of a chat room. I mean, it is. Now they don't let it get too far out of hand. Of course, they try not to. But pretty much anything goes within the terms of service. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. We used to have a product that would take care of that, but we're presently not advertising it. So if the problem recurs, sir, get in touch with me, and I'll try and get the number for you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Art. Dan here in Virginia.
Hi.
That was a great program last night, especially on the amalgams.
Don't get me started. I've got root canals and amalgam. Do you know how much money it cost me to get myself in this condition?
Oh, probably $10,000.
No, more like five.
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate thing is 98% of the population, I think, has amalgam fillings.
Yep.
And you look at the chronic fatigue and all the health problems, and there's been studies made correlating heavy metal toxicity with viral and bacterial problems. Okay. So there's a lot of documentation on this stuff. You know, the World Health Organization has done a study. And you know, in Europe, it's against the law to put amalgam fillings in some countries.
Well, maybe then if I were to bite somebody, I could be charged with attempted murder. My teeth were a registered weapon.
But I'll be glad to flow on that if you'd like. But the thing that I tuned into is the weather down in Texas.
Oh, yes.
That's so unusual.
Not anymore.
Well, exactly. But you get a gut feeling about something that it's not natural.
Yes.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
The same place I went in my book, sir. There's no question about it. It is not natural. Now, we can get into, and I'm happy to with listeners, what they think this is. This change in the weather, change in the way people are behaving, change in our ecology, change in the environment, change in our economic situation, and the political irrelevance going on in Washington.
Yep.
We could go on and on and on. It's all leading towards something. What do you think it is?
Well, I think there's a lot of scenarios that you could look at. But if I wanted to take over a country, I would do it with the weather, because you don't have any fallout from atom bombs and tornadoes, and you see how destructive they can be,
yep.
And yet the area is left clean afterwards, you know, except for the debris. But there's no radiation hanging around. So if you really want to bring a country down to its knees, what do? You destroy it economically and, you know, cause a lot of unnatural catastrophes.
It's possible. You know, it's possible. In other words, you're suggesting the weather is being manipulated. I am very interested in speaking with anybody who thinks that they have proof that that is being done. There are some who believe the HAARP project in Alaska has that capability. I'm not sure. There are some who believe people are utilizing Tesla technology and doing it. I'm not sure about that. What I am pretty sure about is that it is changing. Now, whether it's being manipulated or it is a reaction to man's actions, or a reaction, I guess I ought to say, I don't know. Pick between those two. What do you think? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hi. This is Mark.
Mark, I can barely hear you, Mark, so you're going to have to talk into that phone and scream at us.
Hi, this is Mark from Vancouver, BC.
Yes, Mark.
I'm listening on C-Fun.
C-Fun, yes, sir.
And before I talk about the main thing, I just want to erase a myth that Americans have about Canadians.
May I ask you a question? What time does C-Fun begin the program now?
They carry it from 11 till 4.
Wow.
Except, and they also carry Dreamland, except on Friday they don't join till 1 o'clock. And so we missed like half of Victor last week. I phoned and I encouraged more listeners to.
Well, that's pretty good carriage. They've increased the hours, yeah.
Yes, and I also call and tell them that I appreciate that they do carry the show.
That's a good thing to do.
I want to erase a myth, and that is that the average Canadian does not like Canadian football. Most football fans I know are into the NFL, and we've always been into the NFL. We think of the CFL as a farm team. So
really,
we're really not into it. You know, you got your
but you guys fans. You've got hockey.
We got hockey, yeah.
But okay. It's not. I agree. I mean, hockey. NFL is the sport.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Football is the sport. I don't even that much like college football, but the NFL, nothing compares to that.
Absolutely. I like U.S. college. one thing the main thing I wanted to talk to you tonight, and I have to walk you through it here. Have you ever been near a street lamp and it goes out?
Yes.
That happens to me all the time.
I know. We talked about it. I mean, there are reasons this occurs.
Is there?
Yes, there are. There
because
are.
That's why I wanted to call, because your listeners.
Okay, well, I can tell you right now. I mean, listen to me now.
Yes.
They go out a lot of times because they're in a power-saving mode. That's what some of my listeners say. Others say that lights of photoelectric sensors will sense an oncoming car or something, and you'll be walking toward it and it'll go out because of that or because of a reflection, or because you're a very magnetic person.
It's amazing. There will be 100 lights on the street, but just when I'm going right by, boom, it goes out right when I'm beside it. Now, my wife and I, together, we're a powerhouse. Lights are just going out all the time. And I said to her the other day, she says, are you going to call Art Bell? And I said, before I do, I want you to try and think of an event that maybe happened before this went out or start happening to us. And we both thought that it was the night that we saw this meteor. And the funny thing about it is we were looking at the sky, and she went to look away. And I said, don't take your eyes off the sky because you may see a fallen star. Hmm. And at the exact second when I said fallen star,
there it was.
One was coming down. Hmm. And she says to me, we're both quiet, and I said, this is great. My powers are getting stronger. And so, I do magic, but very amateur magic. And so she says to me, was that a trick?
I have just set a politically incorrect cigarette up on my table. It is standing vertically upon its claimed filter.
Uh-huh.
Let me see you knock it over.
Did it work?
Nah, it's still standing there. Keep working. Keep working.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Took my baby's life.
Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
You know what you're listening to right now, don't you? This is Cusco. And do you know what? They're coming out with the third a point of the triangle. They're coming out with a new album called Return to Native America. And I've heard it. It's killing me. It's absolutely killing me. You'll hear it in July or maybe a little before if I can talk him into it, but it is unbelievably good.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
Well, I'm going to be on the air this morning at 7 o'clock my time with Mike Murphy, who is kind of a talk radio soulmate of mine over in Kansas City on KCMO. 50,000 watts of sincere attitude. So we'll do that. 9 o'clock Kansas City time. Hey, Art, here is a thought. I would like your comment on, as well as the audience's comments. There is no question that the government is losing credibility. Each day, more and more people say flat out that they don't believe anything they hear from the government. The question is, what are they going to do about it? Do you think the powers that be, that's in quotes, will sit back and allow the people to label them as irrelevant liars? Or will we be, in quotes, made to believe what they say? I remember an episode of Star Trek where Captain Picard is captured and held in a dark room and shown three lights. An ominous Big Brother voice continuously asks him how many lights there are and tortures him until he answers two instead of three. In essence, they insist that he believe their lie. How long will we be allowed to say, I don't believe you, to the government? Let me repeat that last line. How long will we be allowed to say, I don't believe you, to the government? Rob, listening to KFYI. Whew, that's a good question. And I don't have the answer. It is true, certainly, that Americans, and I did a program on this that's going to air on WTBS one night. We did that subject here because it is such an important one. So many people, even me, becoming cynical and doubting instead of, as we used to, accepting what our government told us. And, the consequences of that are very serious, and so would they ever begin to literally insist that we believe what they say? Not in the America we know today. The next question is, how long will the America we know today remain even remotely intact? And the answer to that one is not in my immediate grasp. So, Rob, a really super question. Maybe some of the audience can respond. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
My name's Kenny, and I'm calling just south of Cincinnati in Covington, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to know, you talk about this quickening, and you say that it's earth changes and weather changes.
Yes.
And people changes.
Yes.
Well, don't people run the government?
That's an open question. They go and they vote and they send people to Washington.
No, I mean the people that in fact are running the government are people. Why are they immune to the quickening?
They're not. They're part of it.
Okay. You were talking about Oklahoma City earlier?
Yes.
And you said that you couldn't believe that our government would be doing something like that?
Well, what he was implying was that the government had planted the explosives inside to blow up its own building. No, I don't believe that. Cynical as I may be, I do not believe that.
Well, I've seen videos and stuff on public television here where they've shown holes drilled in the foundation and everything for, like, demolition charges.
Mm.
I've seen it on film,
mm-hmm.
and it's strange. I don't know what's going on. Maybe some of the listeners can help out here. I don't trust the government one bit.
I don't trust them either. Nobody should. But short of compelling evidence, and I'm sorry, but I have not seen compelling evidence.
All the power. They ain't going to leave no evidence around.
Well, okay, so then you are reduced to speculation, right?
See, senor.
You speculate all you want.
All right, buddy, thanks.
Right, but the evidence that I've seen so far points to exactly what happened. A Ryder truck full of a lot of very high explosive soup went off and blew up most of that building. Now, I admit that the crater does not reasonably demonstrate the damage done to the building, but look, these were shaped explosives. There were buildings on the other side. There was a reflection that caused a second seismic blip immediately after the first, and a lot of the explosion was reflected and caused damage that would not necessarily reflect the exact size of the physical hole produced by the explosion. So short of, very compelling evidence that it occurred otherwise, I think I tend to believe that what we're hearing out of the Denver trial is what happened. That's just one person's opinion. I know there's a million people and a million theories. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. This is Tommy from North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
All right.
This guy told me that he's got a CB radio that he can broadcast so strong he could actually interfere with aircraft. I'm talking about major aircraft. Is that possible?
No.
No.
No, it's not. No, it's not. CB radio operates on 27 megahertz, and the aircraft band is up in the 120 megahertz, 130 megahertz range. And so the answer is more or less no.
Okay. That's what I thought. You solved what I thought he was.
he's bragging.
He's bragging. Bragging about something that don't exist, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care, sir.
Bye-bye.
Now, it is possible, of course, that some idiot with a gigantic linear amplifier emitting spurious radiation in harmonics could, I suppose, interfere with aircraft, but the odds of that are pretty slim. And at any rate, it would be nothing to brag about and something to fix before the authorities get to you, but that would be a very outside possibility. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, I will be very quick.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that you mentioned the can of tuna would be good for the dog or cat, and it's not.
Well,
it's got a lot of mercury in it.
Actually, well, then I'm consistent because I love tuna. And I eat tuna. I eat Port Chatham tuna, which is the best tuna I've ever had in my whole life.
Really?
Oh, it's delicious. I mean, so, look, we're all dying, right?
That's right.
I guess that's the attitude I'm going to adjust to. We're dying, and if I like tuna, I'm going to eat tuna.
Good for you.
Okay.
Bye.
Same for my cat. See you later. I think at the moment, actually not quite at the moment you're born, but shortly thereafter, more cells begin to be destroyed than are regenerated, and that is the process of dying. So we're all in that process. Now, there's no reason to hurry it along, and you can do what you can to prevent that that process. But otherwise, you know, it is as assured as taxes. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Ed in San Diego.
Hello, Ed.
Good to hear from you. I got your book.
You've got it. You've got it. You've got it.
I read it. It was amazing. I must say that
it didn't end on a happy note, but I thought it ended on a very serious note, and I think a lot of people should read it.
It's a serious subject, sir.
Absolutely. It's well-written, well-documented.
Thank you.
The thing I really appreciated about it, and besides the bibliography and the documentation, is some of the conclusions that you made were very, very accurate, especially the ones dealing with socially, how we've basically become narcissistic.
Oh, yes.
And has become so self-centered.
Oh, yes.
And that the loss of morals and the loss of just being kind and decent to one another.
Uh-huh.
That is just so prevalent, and it's so sad to see that going away.
And you know what? It began in the cities. It began in the areas where people are packed together. But it is now true in little towns, even like the little town I live in. And there used to be an escape from it. There is no longer. And it's spreading and quickening.
Absolutely. I just wanted to congratulate you on a well-done book.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Take care. It is a good book. I'm very, very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. But, you know, and I'll say this again, and I really mean it. This is not a book that I set out to write a book. You know, a lot of people, they just sit down to write a book. I'm going to be an author, you know, so I'm going to write a book. Let's see, what shall I write about? It really wasn't like that at all. It was compelling for me to do. In a lot of ways, I didn't have a choice. I wonder if you understand that. I didn't have a choice. It had to be said. And then I realized that it had to be said in a way that brought credibility to what I'm claiming, because what I'm claiming is somewhat incredible. I am claiming that we are in the middle of a process that is going to culminate in a basic change in human history. And that is an incredible claim and requires a credible documentation, and it is in there. And so the reaction to this book, I have yet to hear the angry reaction, and maybe that's because it's hard to refute facts. So I'll just leave it at that. Again, if you want an autographed copy of my book before I stop signing autographed copies, and that day is coming, I don't know when, you know, like when my hand wears out, you can be assured you'll get one if you order soon. The number is, I may continue doing it for, it just depends. You know, some days when you're signing, it's really tedious and hard. And other days, it's very easy. It's like everything else, you know. It's sort of in cycles. So I can't exactly tell you when I'm going to stop signing, but that day will come. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Congratulations on your fourth place finish.
Yeah, okay. Well, he gave it away. There's a listing on the website. It came from, compiled by Talkers Magazine, of the top 10 talk show hosts in America. And, it is true, I appear to be number 4.
I'm calling from, Santa Fe County, KOB, out of Albuquerque.
Do you have the list there?
Yeah, not right in front of me. I can't believe Rush was number 1.
Oh, of course he's number 1.
Really?
Sure.
Well, surprised me.
Really? He's been in that position now for years.
Well, and another thing, you know, that FBI letter was really a little spooky. I can't believe it. They really sort of...
Oh, I know.
They threatened you, kind of like.
Kind of like?
Well, yeah, more than that, huh?
Kind of like... No, they threatened us. I mean, clearly that was a threat. If you don't want any more contact with us, you will do the following. You know, I guess they, you know, as it says there, where Keith wrote the entry point to the letter, so you can read the letter, the FBI can't take a joke. Well, they were not humored.
No. A couple quick things.
You know, on April Fool's, I went up to my own website, and I almost had a heart attack. I'm serious. I almost had a heart attack. I had no idea Keith was going to do that.
Yes, I saw it, too, when that happened. I know. That surprised me. I thought something was amiss.
I went up there, and I finally did get it, of course. But when I first looked at it, I went, oh, my God.
You're in trouble now.
I'm in big trouble.
Hey, can I thank that radio station up there in Grand Junction? See, KOB goes off the air at 4.
Yes.
And up there in Grand Junction, I don't know, its letters of ZZ at the end or something.
KNZZ, I think.
Yeah, and I get to listen to them for the last hour, and I appreciate that from them.
Well, you know, that's a good thing to do, is whatever radio station you happen to be listening to, I always forget to do this, give them a call and thank them for carrying the program, because we are a bit different than other talk shows, and that's a good thing, I think.
Can I also thank the Grassy Knoll, which I've come to know and love?
Yes, you may.
For its interesting outlook on life.
I need to have... yes, you're right. Thank you, sir. I need to have... I need to have somebody in AOL management contact me by fax or... preferably by fax or email, I guess it'd be easy for somebody in AOL management, America Online Management, to contact me by email. Guess what my email address is? artbell@aol.com. So if somebody in the management area of AOL would please contact me by email, the easiest way for y'all, I would appreciate that. artbell@aol.com. All right, so he said it, so I'll say it now. There's a list... up on the website right now that you can see, and I will tell you, compiled by Talkers Magazine once a year, they compile actually a list of the top 100 talk show hosts, and this year, I think as well as last, they compile a list of the top 10, well, I'm reading from it now, the top 10 radio talk hosts in America, show weekly cum estimates in millions of listeners, Rush Limbaugh, number one, Rush has been there for... years, with an estimated 21 million listeners. Number two, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, with an estimated 14 million. Number three, Howard Stern, with an estimated 12 million. Number four, me, Art Bell, estimated 10 million. Number five, Dr. Joey Brown, estimated 9 million. Number six is Don Imus, with an estimated 8 million. Number seven is Bruce Williams, with an estimated 7 million. Number eight is Jim Bohannon with an estimated 6 million. Number nine is G. Gordon Liddy with an estimated 5 million. And number 10 is a tie between Michael Reagan with an estimated 4 million and Ken and Daria Dolan with an estimated 4 million. And so if you wish to see that list, it is on the website right now, along with the... Now, a famous letter from the FBI. It says, FBI can't take an April Fool's joke. They were not humored. So, of course, we did as instructed. And then Keith posted the letter from the FBI. So they'll probably send him another letter now. You will immediately remove that letter, and he'll probably post that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yo.
Yo.
This is your Art Bellion Hellion up here in Minneapolis.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy that you beat Imus. I am so happy.
Well,
I can't wait.
I'm amazed. I can't believe what's happening to this program.
I can't wait till that book gets on the New York Times bestseller list and you're beating his picture book that he's got out. Have you seen that?
His picture? Imus has a picture book?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
He has a picture book. He does. He has a picture. He went into the desert and took a bunch of pictures of some rocks and stuff.
Really?
And he's selling it for $25 or something. I don't know.
The Imus rock book?
I'm telling you, it's him and his brother Fred.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heart attack. Those two guys, they go out in the desert and they take pictures of rocks.
Okay.
So whatever, I guess, you know.
Well, you know, somebody famous once said that if you take two boards and nail them together in any certain way and take them out to a swap meet, eventually somebody will come along and buy them as an object of art.
Hey, will somebody fax that list to Don Imus so he can go?
Hey, listen, can you hold on?
Yes, sir.
We'll be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. I seem to always be in trouble. You know that? That's what I've concluded in my older age. That all my life, and since I was small, I've almost consistently and always been in trouble of one sort or another. And that still hasn't changed. I suppose it never will, huh?
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 29th, 1997.
And by the way, with respect again to the ratings of the talk show hosts, I am very proud to be in the top 10 now and number 4 at that. And I think that the reason, and by the way, I'm not surprised that Rush remains number one. Not surprised at all. And I'm not surprised that Howard is also way up there. You know why? Because I think of myself, I think of Rush as an original, okay? Rush, whatever you think of him, love him, hate him, whatever, he's an original item. And there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, trying to follow in his rather substantial footsteps, and they're copycats. And whatever you think of Stern, he's an original, definitely an original. In fact, actually, his movie's quite good. I saw his movie, and I've got to say it was good. He's an original, and he's got it right. The day came when he said, hell with this, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, and hell with everybody. And I did the same thing. A couple of, well, actually 2-3 years ago I did it. And I think that that's what accounts for success. I mean, you can follow in somebody else's footsteps, and there are those who are beginning to try and do what I do on the air. And that's fine. But I don't think it ever really gets you where you want to go. So my advice, for all it's worth, and it is not followed, is to be yourself, to be original. And then you'll get up and go. But if you just try and emulate somebody else, you know, you're just going to be a weak second or third or fourth or fifth generation. And you're never really going to achieve the top of the heap, which is where you want to be. East of the Rockies, you're back on the air again. Hi.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to reiterate that maybe somebody could fax Imus that list or something, or power that list. And I think that maybe now that you're getting a little more good ink from the press, so to speak, with this list here, that maybe people will take more notice of you and give you more respect, and maybe that they'll read your book, and maybe some of these day people will wake up.
Maybe so, but look, I don't care. Even Imus is an original, and so that's why he's on the list. I mean, look, being on the top 10 list of anything in any career field is cool. So I don't, you know,
Hey, you better be proud of it, because I sure am proud of you.
Well, thank you.
If I could switch a subject on you there for a second.
Fire away.
Okay, my roommate is from Colombia, from Medellin, Colombia.
Oh, really?
And he was in the city there once, and there was an accident where some man cut his hand very, very badly. And they couldn't stop the bleeding for nothing. And, you know, the ambulances aren't like they are here. It takes a long time for them to arrive and whatnot.
Right.
And so this guy was bleeding to death out of his hand.
Okay.
And, I mean, the blood was just everywhere. This is my roommate who told me this.
Right.
So anyway, this man came up and said, move away, move away. And he prayed over him and whatnot, and the guy was, and the bleeding stopped, and the guy lived. And my friend, my roommate, said, wow, you are really awesome. You know, can you teach me some of this or something? And the guy says, I can't teach. It's hereditary. But he says, I can do this. He says, I know you're going to America, to my roommate. And he put a spell on my roommate and said, you will get through the border, no problem, you know, because he had no papers and stuff like that. Made it right through, and he's got a great job, and, you know, it's all because this guy put a spell on him.
Wow.
Can you believe it? And he's on the line right
yes,
now
I
if you'd like to talk to him.
He is?
He's on the line right now if you'd like to talk to him.
Speak.
Yeah, no, I just listened to what he's talking about, though, but, yeah, that's really happened, you know. It's, the guy, well, I don't know, I just believe the guy because of what I see that he did with the other guy that he was bleeding. So he told me, well, you go to the United States, you go over there, and you're going to get a job, you're going to get all your documents and all that stuff straight, right? So I came over, and that's what I did. I started working. I started to learn how to speak English and all that stuff. And I got a great job. I got all my documents. You know, I'm legal in the United States and all that stuff. And all that I've been doing working.
Well, I would say congratulations to you, and I believe it. I believe in a lot of things that you cannot see and cannot touch. And I believe in the possibility of their being true. And that includes the kind of thing you just heard. And I guess there's no more to say. I mean, these things happen. The world is more than we know. It is more than we can touch and feel and grab and grasp. I've got something here that fits into the, I'm sorry to say, into the quickening category. This is Dateline Okayama in Japan. Entitled, Monkeys in Labs May Have Deadly Virus. About 40% of Japanese monkeys bred for experiments at universities nationwide carry a virus. Listen here. Potentially as deadly for humans as the Ebola virus. The finding was revealed by Nagasaki University assistant professor Hiroshi Sato at a meeting in Okayama last week. The meeting was organized by the operators of animal experiment facilities at national universities. In response to the revelation, the council secretariat intends to call for caution in the use of these monkeys. According to Sato, he detected the B, as in boy, virus in some 40% of more than 1,000 monkey blood samples that he had collected from 53 facilities in national universities. Experts regard the B virus, whatever in the hell that is, B as in boy, as being as deadly as Ebola. Only the most advanced facilities are even allowed to handle it. And they're saying that as many as 40% of the monkeys used for experiments in Japan may have this virus. Good heavens. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. This is Ed in Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir.
And, you sound a little bit different on the phone than you do on the radio.
That's what people say.
Yeah. Listen, I have been listening to listening to your show for about a year and a half.
Yes, sir.
And I really like it, but I wanted to comment. I have one question for you and a comment. The question is, what was the name of the person on your show last night?
Last night.
Your interview.
Let's see. Wayne Green.
Okay. Wayne Green.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does, sir. I think he's probably a pretty good person.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Wayne Green is an original, and that brings me back to where I was a little while ago. Wayne Green has been a millionaire and then poor and then a millionaire and poor, and he's an original person. And there are fewer originals in the world today. But we still have them, and I'm proud to be able to count myself, I think, as an original. And we need more originals and fewer copycats. So if I would give anybody out there, you know, getting into my business, or actually any business advice, I would say follow your instincts. Do what you think is right. Be honest with yourself. And, you know, it sounds pretty corny, but follow your inner instincts. And if you are almost compulsive about it, you will achieve your goals. Or if you don't, you will have fought the good fight. But the odds of your achieving your goals are much better if you plunge into it and do what you know is right, despite what others may tell you. Don't copy others. Be yourself. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Joseph from L.A., man.
Yes, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, man.
Hey, is it hot? Is it hot over there in Nevada?
About the same temperature as L.A.
I know. It's cool, though. It's cool. Hey, you're talking about the quickening, man. What about Africa? Africa over there, you know, all that restructuring they're having over there, you think that's a little bit more of a quickening over there?
No.
Just the same pace that we're going to go through right now?
Well, I think that they're just at a different stage, but because of the population pressure in Africa, they're quickening indeed. And that accounts for the civil strife you're seeing now in Africa. And the rest of Africa is going to look at South Africa as a model, and they are going to be industrializing, and the rest of Africa is going to want what we have, as Asia is now beginning to acquire. South America is going to want and is beginning to acquire. And as these different continents continue to increase in population and want the same material comforts that we have, which includes industrialization, transportation, infrastructure, the environment is not going to begin to be able to handle it. Now, that's all in my book. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, I have a question.
Turn your radio off, please.
Okay. About 2 weeks ago, I had like this dream, and I don't know if it was a dream or not, but I dreamt that I was abducted by aliens. And ever since then, I've had a real bad pain in the right side of my nose. And my nose has started bleeding a little bit, and I've had like a continuous headache for 2 weeks. And I was wondering if there's like anything I can do about it.
Well, you can go to a doctor.
Yeah, but I heard that like if this one lady that was abducted by aliens and that they tried to pull the thing out of her nose and it killed her. And I know Whitley Strieber has one in his nose. And, you know, he's afraid to get his pulled out because, you know.
He believes that he has his in his ear, not nose.
Oh, it's not in his nose.
Right. And the first thing to do is to confirm that there is really something there. And to do that, you've got to go to a doctor. And a doctor will be more than happy to oblige you with an X-ray or an MRI or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And take a look and be sure something is really there.
Uh-huh.
So do that first.
Okay, and what if, you know, they want to, like, pull it out and I don't want them to? Do you think they'd try to do it?
Yeah, sure, they'll strap you down and, you know, with something, a medical version of a pair of pliers, and they'll yank it out.
But what if I don't want them to do that?
Well, if you're strapped down, you know, you will have no choice.
Okay, Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Have a good day. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is Bill from Texas.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show for about 2 months, and I'm addicted.
Thank you.
And you got a great show, and I just want to ask you a question about the alien interview.
Yes, sir.
Are they going to show that, the video? Is it going to be released, or?
The video, I understand, is to be released, I think, sometime next month or the month after, either June or July, I'm not sure. But, yes, it is going to be released.
Okay. I appreciate it, and I love your show.
Thank you, my friend. Take
all
care.
Right,
yes. Oh, yeah. First-time callers, call area 702-727-1222. Okay. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
Hey. Did I hear you a couple of months ago or a month ago saying you thought the Aurora was being tested in San Diego?
What I said was, I do believe the Aurora aircraft is being tested. And as it comes in over the Pacific Ocean toward the test area here, shock waves are felt frequently in San Diego as big booms.
Yeah, I live in San Diego, and we get those booms
exactly
constantly. And one night, I mean, it was going on for hours. This was like the beginning of this month, and I went outside around about 11 o'clock, and I saw, and it was a cloudy night, but I saw this bright star there, and it just zipped off. And I knew it couldn't be a shooting star because I could barely see any stars. I don't know if that has any connection, but
I don't either.
Well, you know, when those booms come, I mean, they rattle the windows, the doors. So, and they're coming from, I don't know where they're coming from, but we have a lot of military bases out here.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think that's what it is. I think it's the Aurora aircraft or something very much like it.
Or something like it, yeah.
You bet.
Yeah, we got them all the time.
Yep. Well, keep your eyes on the skies, sir.
And I don't get the honors. Oh, geez, it's almost 4 o'clock.
No, not close enough.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. One of these nights you'll get them. It's whoever's last. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Wally from Santa Monica.
Okay.
Last year sent you. You've been asking a great deal about you'd like to see some of these little things in the way of a toy or something that has this free energy. I sent you a package from Popular Science magazine.
Yes.
Last year with photocopies of all these experiments they were doing in the laboratories and the universities.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you have?
But what I haven't seen is a working model.
Oh, but they
diagrams,
have
schemes, theories. I've got a lot of that.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
But they had them all out on the desk there. You know, pictures of them working.
Pictures, yes. Well,
and they had the little antenna going out onto the roof and just
cool.
To send wire.
Picking up the free power, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh, cool.
And
I want to see it.
Yeah, well, I sent you that with a picture.
No, there. I don't want to see a picture.
Oh, you want one of those?
I think you understand.
Yeah. Listen, there is something going on afoot right now that's very interesting. I read the USA newspaper today. And they have all the states listed across the USA, and then Arizona down there where they lost the couple of A-10s down around Yuma. They have a Huachuca. Traffic jams are expected on these highways going out of there to Tucson, Yuma, and Phoenix. There's 235 military vehicles leaving the Army post down there for a, quote, nationwide exercise.
Interesting.
The exercise is scheduled to end June the 10th.
Hmm.
So evidently, military operations all over the nation are going to be combined in one massive thing to see just how quickly they can handle everyone in the country.
Hmm.
Militarily.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the boys with the blue helmets. Black
helicopters. Blue helmets, black helicopters. All right, sir, thank you very much. I don't fear the UN. I hear this frequently from people. Oh, the UN is going to take over. No, it's not. The UN can't even manage little tiny third and fourth world island nations. How would you expect they would manage a nation full of very angry, independent Americans who are armed to the teeth. blue helmets. They wouldn't, you know, they'd probably have a shorter survival time than aliens who would land and be coming down the ramp. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? No, you're not. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, great.
Wow, turn your radio off.
Okay, I will. I'll turn my radio off.
Good, good, good.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm originally from Land of the Chupacabras, Puerto Rico.
Now, see, I can tell from the way you said it that it's true. Let me hear you say that again.
Puerto Rico?
No.
Puerto Rico.
Well, no.
The Land of the Chupacabras?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? It's true. It's really, this thing really exists. And, you know, I mean, a bunch of farmers wouldn't be killing off their own sheep because sheep are very expensive and goats are very expensive in Puerto Rico. They're really upset about it, too. But I wanted to say that I heard for the first time you were talking about something landed in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Well, I heard about it first from you, and then I talked to my brother, and he said it was in Lajas, Puerto Rico.
That's what I've heard.
And it's confirmed, and he said it was even on TV. They had a videotape of some light. And then the military came in, and nobody knew anything else about it. But
why do you think Puerto Rico is such a special place where all of these things going on?
Well, because of the Arecibo telescope that is trying to contact aliens for so long.
In other words, maybe it has.
Sure. And then, but the thing with
where are you located?
I'm in Humboldt County.
Humboldt County. All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Wait. I just want to tell.
Listen to me. Okay. The show's over. There's no more time. You get the honors. Tell everybody good night.
Oh, good night. Can I talk to you after?
Yes. Hold on.
Thank you.
That's it, folks. Good night.